Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Praise the Lord. It's so great to be back here and back home. So happy to be back here in Franklin, Tennessee. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that in the fullness of time, you sent your son, born of a woman, born under the law, that you might redeem those, redeem us, and we're just so thankful for that. And I pray in these next moments together that you would speak to us, amen. So good to be home. Kathy, one of our daughters, was in the first service. They're back now. We've been moving nonstop for days. It's not quite as easy to move at 62 as it was 52. I know I look 18. This is my resurrection body. This can be you if you live right. Just kidding. Okay, now. I'm going to entitle this message, Filled for the Fullness of Time. I'm going to divide it into three parts. I want to talk about the place where I see us as a church. I want to talk then about if we were truly filled with God, what might it be like? What might mark it? Then I want to close with a very practical promise. Says, as I prayed in Galatians 4:4, when the time had fully come, in the fullness of time. Now, your scholars, your expositors, your theologians talk about it was the fullness of time for Jesus because Koine Greek was common, the sea lanes were open, all the world was under Roman domination, and that was nice unless you were one of the ones under Roman domination. And typically in the fullness of time, what that really means, when the earth is full of problems, God shows up. When you look over 2,000 years ago at the time when Jesus came, the biggest problem he faced was not the Roman Empire. He converted them in 3 centuries. The biggest problem he faced were the people he had chosen to do the job. They had been wiped out, enslaved, ethnically cleansed, back in the land a few hundred years now, yet their religion, their passion for God had calcified under Pharisaism. They were called to reach the world, but they hated the rest of the world out of bitterness. Their religious interpretation of the Old Testament or the Pharisees had so separated them from the people they were to reach, unless you were Jewish, they would not even have eaten with you. They wouldn't have gone into your home. They wouldn't have touched you. So the real crisis Jesus faced was that the people ordained by God to change history were far from their purpose. He came for 3.5 years with miracle power, trying to draw out of a little group of Jews some women and men who he could change. But like many American Christians, they had made the mistake and they kept thinking, you know, is Jesus going to become emperor? When's our nation going to be on top again? When are we somehow going to have this Christian president, this Christian leader? And they had bought into the lie that somehow Jesus would come and by force or by law change the world. And I believe in righteous laws, make no mistake about it. I've marched and protested over inequality in the past. But I tell you now, as I look at America, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, do not put your trust in humans, they'll fail you. Do not put your trust in princes, they cannot save you. I grew up in multi-ethnic Christianity, one of the toughest gang areas in California. I pastored in multi-ethnic Christianity in a place in the South that was a land time forgot. They wish they could have forgotten us. I'm here to tell you, as much as I believe in laws and right and wrong, only God can change the human heart. When I was in between services, God spoke to me out of John 6:15. Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. I'm 62 years old. I've lived through many elections. For roughly 34 years of my time on the earth, Republicans have had the White House, Democrats the rest. And here we are today praying God change our nation. Vote your conscience, but only God can change this nation. Jesus realized that in the Jewish mind, if they could just make him emperor, if they could just make him king, if they could just make him president, that somehow their world would be okay. And the Bible says, when he saw they were going to try to force him into a role of emperor to change the world that way, he hid and withdrew from them to a mountain. I appreciate, I vote my conscience. I pray for the president, whoever he is, half for years. But my hope is not in the presidency today. My hope is not in the Supreme Court. My hope is not in the Congress. My hope is in the Prince of Peace. And whenever the church depends on political power alone, the Holy Spirit withdraws from it and goes up to the mountain and waits for his people to come and seek him. It was the fullness of time, and there was no election to save them. Caesar Augustus was on the throne of Rome, and if you disobeyed his laws, he would wipe out your city and sell you into slavery. There was no political power to turn to. And in the middle of that, Jesus was getting ready. It says in Mark 14, 14 and 15, days before the world was going to be changed, he said, go to this house, and says, the teacher asked, God asked, where is my guest room? Where can I stay? God's still asking that. Where can I eat the Passover with my disciples? He'll show you a large room. It made no mistake. Large. There's 12 of us in the group of women. Why do I need a large room? He said, go and make preparation. Let me tell you. The same question many would ask today. Why a large room? Why that large building? Why? Why would God at Bethel have us build a large building? A large room. The disciples were thinking, well, we don't really need it. Don't make sense. Why this big room? We could have multiple Passovers. Like, why? Because that was a room with a purpose. That was a room with a promise. And Jesus knew what they didn't know, that the Holy Spirit would descend on that room. And in one day, they would grow from 120 to 5,000. In weeks, they'd be 20,000. God intends to fill that building with his presence and with people more than once every Sunday. But to do it, he's got to fill us first. Something has to happen in us. That's why Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24, 49, I'm going to send you what my dad promised. But stay right here into the city until you've been clothed with power. Hundreds of years before, the Spirit of God had broken out with Moses when they laid hands on elders. 70 men began to prophesy, and young Joshua, kind of the associate pastor, said, Moses, stop it. How dare those people take your job? Moses rebuked him and said, I long for the day. I live for the day where every man and every woman and every one of God's people will have the Spirit just like I have it. And they'll prophesy under the anointing. Joel, under the anointing of the Lord, in a day when Israel was ready to be destroyed, looked off and he said, there's a day coming. There's an era coming. There's a period of time coming when God's Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Then he gets real specific. On men, on women, on slaves, on every type of demography. My Spirit poured out on all flesh. And that's why in Acts 2, when many thought they were drunk, and these 120 Jews, men and women, had gone crazy, praying in languages they'd never learned, Peter said, they're not drunk. As you suppose, it's too early in the morning. This is what Joel, the prophet, saw hundreds of years ago. This is what he saw. This is what he looked for. This is what he contemplated. He said in Acts 2:38-39, he said, and if you'll repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you're going to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is not just for you as adults. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for the generation you saw in this stage only moments ago leading us in worship. It's not just for me and my children. We just had triplet grandchildren recently. It's for every one of them, Ilsa, Abraham, and Joel. This promise. You see, my hope for America today is not a perfect president. There are none, and we've never had one. Princes will fail you. My hope for the day is that the church of Jesus Christ will be so filled with the Prince of Peace and his power and his grace that once again history will be changed. If there's anything I know looking back in American history, at every fullness of time, at every moment, whether it was before the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, there was a mighty infusion of God's Spirit that swept over this nation. If God is going to fill this new building that you're preparing even now, he first has to fill you. But if that was to happen, how would you know? If God was to sweep down and fill your family and fill your life with the same Spirit that transformed the Roman Empire in 3 centuries, with no right to vote, no election, in Rome, half slaves, how'd he do it? What was it like? If God was to fill Bethel World Outreach Center, how would we know? Like, what are the vital signs of a man or a woman filled with the Spirit and presence of God? I'm going to suggest 4. I'm going to go about 15 more minutes. I'm going to suggest 4. Then I'm going to give you a promise. First, our lives would be transformed. You remember in the garden, Peter and all the boys failed him. Judas betrayed, Peter denied and cursed. A little teenage girl said, "Sir, weren't you with Jesus?" He cussed at her and said no. Every disciple ran. At the cross, only the women and John had the courage to even show up. Yet in Acts 2:14, those who had been cowards and left their best friend said, Peter and the 11 stood up and addressed the crowd and preached. What happened? They'd been discipled by the master mentor 3.5 years. They'd been in the best small group in history, led by the Son of God for 3.5 years. They'd seen the dead raised, water walked on, food multiplied, yet they were still weak and broken. You might be in a small group. I'm so happy for you. You might be serving in the church, but if you've not been filled with the power and love of God, your character will not be transformed. It'll not be transformed. You can be around it, but to go from being deformed to transformed is the Spirit of God. They just changed. Peter, the blasphemer, who will never follow him. They followed him. Why? They were changed. Secondly, there were tongues and supernatural power. You read for yourself in Acts 2:4-12. When the Spirit of God hit them, they came pouring out of that room, all speaking in languages they'd never heard. And when that multi-ethnic crowd heard it, they said, "Man, we're hearing God in our own language." You say, "That was then, this is now." Let me just give you one example. I remember I was in Hebrew class one day, and I was the worst Hebrew student in all of history. I was humble at 18. I was the worst student, bad grades. My teacher was unsaved. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, "Go pray over your teacher." I said, "My grades can't get any lower. Why not?" I went to my professor. I said, "Sir," I didn't have any sense. I said, "Sir," and I was in the army. He was many ranks above me. I said, "Sir, the Lord has told me to lay hands." And he goes, "I don't care, lay hands on me." I laid hands and I began to pray in a language I'd never learned. He goes, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." He goes, "I know how stupid you are. You're one of my worst Hebrew students. You just prayed over me in fluent Hebrew. I know there is a God." Now let me tell you right now, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, when the power of this God, this Holy Spirit comes on you, all of a sudden your life takes on a supernatural quality. All of a sudden your life takes on a supernatural dimension. You hear him better, know him better. Power begins to flow out of your hands. Diseases begin to pass away. All of a sudden the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit began to be manifested in your life. I mean, they went down the street. The man who denied Christ only weeks before saw a lame man. He said, "Man, I need some money." Peter goes, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. in the name of this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. My son Peter, who's been on the Syrian border for many years with his wife, they just had triplets. When they do the laundry, they can feel the artillery shake the ground. He's worked among Muslims. He was recently, a Muslim family came. They were Syrian, devout Muslim. Their little boy dying of leukemia. No answer, no hope. Peter laid hands on him. The dad, who was a devout Muslim, saw a light from heaven fall on his son. He says, my son is healed. They took him into the greatest cancer hospital in Jordan. They said, clean bill of health. Revival swept through the Muslim community. Hundreds of Muslims. This is the Jesus we serve. When this power comes on you, all of a sudden, you're so filled with love for lost people, you're bold. Thousands were added to the church that day, 3,000 men. Thousands were added. One of the supernatural marks of you having the Holy Spirit is not the gifts. It's a love for lost people and a boldness to invite them to church and to come into the kingdom. They told Peter, we'll beat you. You keep preaching. Peter said, I can't help myself. Why? Because when you're filled with God, when you're filled with his love, America thinks intellect's the answer to everything. If we just have another evangelism class, our people will be bold. You can have all the classes in the world, but if you're not filled with God, you won't be bold. You won't be bold. Because when you're filled with God's love, when you're filled with God's spirit, when you're filled with his grace, you're bold. So how do we know we're spirit-filled? Well, one, you're being changed. Two, there's supernatural element of God breaking around your life. Three, you just love people. Man, God's been working new love in my heart for people, especially for sick people and physically oppressed people. I was in a sky club because I fly all the time. So an old woman could barely walk in pain, almost crying. Tears just begin to come. Why? Because when you get filled with God's love, you see people differently. You say, I'm not evangelist. So what? I'm not either. But when you're filled with God's love, when you're filled, you can't. Peter said, they said, we'll jail you. Peter said, we can't help ourselves. We're filled. Now, fourthly, one of the great signs of the Holy Spirit is reconciliation and unity. I use the word tribal unity on purpose. And trust me, I understand tribalism. I've lived and worked all over the world. I've lived in war zones filled with tribalism. I'm using the word tribe, not in the way of an ethnic group. I use tribe as kinship, that which is close to you, those who become your friends, that kind of unity. It says in the book of Revelation, around heaven, there will be a group of men and women from every tribe, every language group, every ethnic group, every national group. How does it happen? On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in scores of languages. Why? Because God was getting ready to raise up a multi-ethnic church in the middle of the calcified, broken Roman Empire. And he was going to take, in many ways, some of the most bigoted people in all the earth to do it. Religious Jews. They would not touch the rest of the world, eat with the rest of the world. We were unclean. But when the Spirit of God fell on them, they evangelized the Samaritans, their sworn enemies. Peter, who didn't even want to eat with a Gentile, baptized Roman soldiers as the Spirit of God gushed in. You say, what do you know about this? More than you might think. I spoke into the lives of civil rights leaders around the world and in America. I've lived multi-ethnic Christianity from the day I was 5 years old. I pastored a church in a part of the South where there was so much hatred. It was like I cut off the bus in the land in time for God. I was from San Diego. My co-pastor was from Oakland. He'd been on the way to the Black Panthers when Jesus saved him. They'd never seen the like of two crazy Californians coming to the South. When we got there, they prayed we'd leave. Didn't work. God raised up something so beautiful, it boggled their mind. It was a sign and a wonder. When Jesus comes, there's reconciliation. The fuller you are of God, the less ethnic tension is in your soul. I sat with one of the great civil rights leaders, South Africa, praying with he and his wife. He'd gone to bring Mandela out of prison. They'd firebombed his house, tortured him, poisoned him. Famous. Cried with me at the table, he and his wife, telling me how he'd gone to prison to see the white man who'd ordered his torture and murder and fell in front of him and had communion and called him brother. That's only possible when you're filled with God. President Mandela, the late President Mandela, came into one of our Every Nation churches, South Africa, before he died years ago. He looked out in a sea of black and white faces, and Indian faces. He began to weep and say, pray for me. This is what I went to prison for. This is my hope. When the Spirit of God sweeps into a man or woman, when the Spirit of God sweeps through, I remember in that southern city, Dr. King preaches, I have a dream message there first, before he ever went to Washington. They preached against us in churches, tried to drive us out of neighborhoods. Just wouldn't work. When the Spirit of God floods the heart of a human, when the Spirit of God comes and floods the heart of human, Pentecost, of which we have roots in, fastest growing religion in the world, is not Islam, it's Pentecostal charismatic Christianity, just people that believe in the gifts of the Spirit. William Seymour, Evening Light Saint, one-eyed African-American preacher, under the Jim Crow laws, have to sit in the hallway, love God enough to overcome it. Went to California, he and six African-Americans began to pray, Spirit of God fell. Woman got on the piano, sang in seven languages, never played piano, he had the sense to marry her. In the next 3.5 years, a multi-ethnic church grew up in Los Angeles that changed all of history. What if you wanted this Holy Spirit? What if you wanted more of him? In John 20, Jesus breathed on his disciples and received the Holy Spirit. The minute he did that, as they were born again, their human spirit was reconnected to God's spirit. Yes. That wasn't enough. It's why he said, wait till this spirit empowers you. Yes. Wait till this spirit moves on you. My goodness. How do we have this? The hope of our country is to be filled with God. Make no mistake about it. Vote your conscience. Read the Bible, yes. I've already gone to the ballot box and asked anybody about, but it's not my hope. I didn't find it easy to vote this year, I have to tell you. Don't ask me who, I can't tell you. Secret. But it's not anyone you think. I voted for James Lowe as my president. Just kidding, I wrote him in. James and Debbie Lowe, president and vice president. Tell you, far better choices than what we're facing. If you don't like it, too bad. Jesus said in 11, so I say to you, ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open. Who asks, receives. Seeks, finds. Knocks, open. He spoke of the Holy Spirit. How do you have more of this Holy Spirit this morning? Jesus said in John 70, stood up at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Harvest. Said he cried out in a loud voice saying, if any man or any woman is thirsty, I have an answer for you today. If you're thirsty, come to me, not just to church, not just, come to me and drink. Drink's an interesting metaphor for the spiritual disciplines in Scripture. Pray, worship, wait, receive, read, study. Come to me and drink. And if you believe what the Bible says, if you believe what Scripture says, out of your inner man, out of your belly, out of your inner woman will come rivers of living water, rivers of tongues, rivers of prophecy, rivers of service, rivers of leadership, rivers of the word of knowledge, rivers of healing. America's gone dry. But the ancient riverbeds are still cut into the fabric of a country. Waiting on some man or some woman who'll stop trying to make him president and make him king in their prayers. I believe in just laws. I haven't marched on Washington. Oh, I do. But it's not my hope for the nation. It's my hope they'll restrain evil so the church can do her job. Today you'd say, Pastor, I need more of God. Bow your heads. Pastor James, join me up here, please. My last minute or so as James comes. First of all, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, if that's the case, your human spirit is still separated from God's spirit today. You say, Pastor, I'm not even sure I'm born again. I'm not even sure I've trusted in Christ. Keep your heads bowed. If that's you, put your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. Put them up, wave them at me. Thank you. Thank you. More hands. I see them. Thank you. Thank you for these, Lord. I thank you, Lord. As they come forward in a minute, you'll help them. They'll come into your kingdom. You're here and you're a believer today. Maybe there's three types of you. Maybe you've never, ever really been baptized in the Spirit. Really two. Or maybe you're like James and I, Debbie, Kathy, many others of us here, Mike, Christy. You've been saved a long time, and there was a day you prayed to be baptized in the Spirit, but you say, I need to be filled again. Peter was filled so many times, can't count him. You need to be refilled with his love, refilled with his power today. You've got more fear than faith. The other night I went to bed so worried for our country I could hardly sleep. And then God got me 4:00 a.m. and goes, how dare you put your trust in princes and not the Prince of Peace? He said, there is no government that controls me. You're a Christian. You say, I need to be more filled with God. Raise your hand right now. If your hand's up, stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this great church. I thank you, Lord, for this little bit of heaven. I look around, Lord, I see every tribe, tongue, language group, nation. And I'm praying now, Lord, for every man, woman, young person, and child to be freshly filled. Pray this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus, I'm so thirsty. Raise your hands. I come to you. I come to you to drink freshly. I need your Spirit. I need your power. I'm going to pray. Lord, I feel an infusion of your presence sweeping over this nation. A refusion, an infusion of your Spirit sweeping, Lord, over men and women. And I pray you'd flood the men and women of Bethel with your Spirit, the city in every denomination that's strife. Lord, because I know you're going to fill us before you fill that building you've told us to prepare for you. Fill us, Lord Jesus, we pray.
Keep your hands raised. Empty yourself of every other thought except God filling you up. Even if you're sitting in your seat, say, Lord, I may not know what's going on, but fill me up. And I'm just going to have the worship team sing that little song to fill us up. But I want you to focus on Jesus.
Pour us out for a broken world that is far from
fill
you.
Fill me, Lord, fill me.
Fill us up. Pour us out to be your hands and feet, oh Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, draw me near. Holy Spirit, we are here to see.
Everyone just cross the aisle and grab the hand of the person next to you. Cross the aisle. The word of the Lord has gone out over our church. Hard to fill a room if we're not filled with his Spirit. The command is don't be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit constantly. It's not an option, it's a command. Every day, make a commitment in your heart to be filled with the Spirit, or to seek God until you have that boldness or some supernatural expression of God pouring out of your life on a daily basis. The second secret he gives us is where there's unity, he commands a blessing. When they were all in one place on one accord, suddenly a sound came from heaven as a rush of mighty wind and filled the place. This diversity, this unity in this room can allow God to fill you supernaturally because you align with him and one another. So, Lord, as I pray for us, I pray, God, that you would keep us all in the center of your will, hungry for you and searching for you and desperate for you and longing for more and more of you every day. Lord, fill us until we're purged of everything that keeps us from you. Fill us until every sin and crooked and wicked way and perverse way is out of our heart and mind. Fill us until we're vessels that are meet for the master's use. Fill us until we have power from on high to speak boldly to the factions and rulers and principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness to move back. Fill us, Lord. Fill us as a church with love for our brother and sister that doesn't look like us or talk like us. God, fill us until we reach out to our bosses and the down and out and the up and out. Fill us, Lord, until every neighborhood and school and college and elementary is reached. Fill us, Lord, until we reach out to our government and say, you will change in Jesus' name. Fill us with the boldness to speak. Fill us with the clarity of the gospel. Fill us. Lord, as we leave this place, God, I'm praying that we go understanding that being filled is not an option, but a command. We thank you for the privilege and the word over our church. We thank you that we won't be forgetful hearers, but doers of your word. Bless this place and keep filling it. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you just give God a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah! Now, ministry team, you can come down if you have any prayer needs whatsoever. We want to pray for you, but I want you to hug at least three people real good. Tell them you love God and you love them before you leave. Ministry team, come down if you have any prayer needs whatsoever. Ministry team, make your way down. God bless you. You are dismissed. We love you so much.